I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome back my friend Rochelle Lissner. Rochelle's mission is and has always been to energize, inspire, and educate business owners to achieve productivity, profit, and peace. Since 2007, Rochelle has helped corporations and entrepreneurs resolve their sales, internal communications, and business growth headaches. With a background of 20 years of success in the challenging world of corporate travel, Rochelle brings an interactive and practical approach to sales and scaling key talent. Born out of dealing with diverse industries, crisis management, multicultural clients, and demanding customers, Rochelle's deep understanding of how to communicate powerfully in a noisy world, both internally and externally, helps business owners and their teams engage in storytelling, not boring telling, for the consistent and powerful verbal branding they need for greater focus and profits. Rochelle, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you on today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So the last time you were on Smashing the Plateau was episode 185, and we talked a lot about your own journey as a business leader and also the importance of what you include in your bio and your tagline, storytelling, not boring telling. Now, I know language is something that is really critical to smashing a plateau, and you have a particular perspective on it. And maybe we can start by talking about why language is so important.
Okay, let me give you, this is a very firm belief that I have. I really believe that the quality of your language will dictate the quality of your business. Let me repeat that. That's how strongly I'm convinced. It's the quality of your language will dictate the quality of your business. How you speak about your business, how clear you are, how memorable you are, how specific you are will allow you to attract your ideal client. If you sound like everybody else in your industry, if you speak like everybody else in your industry, you will blend all that money that you spent on your web development, on branding your website, possibly even branding yourself personally, sort of becomes diluted when you speak like everybody else and don't have a clear message and don't say it in a dynamic way.
Do you think as part of your message, it's really important to be as narrow as possible in your focus?
Well, part of it is to be as narrow as possible. That's part one. But part two is even equally as important, is to say what you do in a different way. You've got to do what I call thought interruption. See, if somebody already has an already assumption of what you do, they don't listen. So if you tell me you're an accountant and I have an already understanding of what that could be, what you say is irrelevant to me. I don't even hear it anymore. It goes into the background noise. But if you tell me about that in a very different way, I will connect to your message and I will connect to you.
So if I'm an accountant, what's a good way to talk about myself?
So I'd say something like, when it comes to taxes, it depends the kind of accounting, but I can give you like just an example. Taxes is a headache. Understanding taxes and the complexity of taxes is even a bigger headache. These are the concerns of so many of my clients, and this is where we do our best work. My name is, Joe Smith, and I'm with ABC Tax Firm. So I get a sense of what they do. I get a sense of the headache that they do, that they solve, and I get connected to this person because I'm panicked about taxes. I'm panicked about paying too much taxes, too little taxes, the complications of taxes, and this person's going to solve that issue with me. He doesn't just call me an accountant. And my greatest example is somebody that you and I both know very well. This person, when I was at a networking event, this person stood up and said, the magic number was 52. Now, when I first met him, I had no idea what he was talking about. He just said the magic number was 52. And he pauses. After that, he goes on to say, I had an international buyer from Brazil who I had to show 52 apartments to until they were finally ready to purchase. My name was, and this person was Michael Shepard, and he's one of the top realtors in Manhattan. And he says, you know, I'm a top realtor, and dealing with international buyers is where I've done some of my best work. Well, with that one sentence, I got to see that he understands the international buyer. I got to see that he understands all of New York, because you cannot show somebody 52 properties on the Upper West Side. I got to see he has the patience of Mother Teresa, because I probably would have not worked with somebody after apartment number 9, but he still continued on and on. And he was able to get the board package approved for an overseas buyer. So by that one simple story, I really got to see his expertise. That's very different if somebody just says, my name is, and I'm a Manhattan realtor. Can you sense that difference?
It's a huge difference. So one of the questions that goes through my mind is, how do we figure out what our story is?
Well, there's several ways of doing a story. You want to focus. The number one thing that I want you to think about is, what are one or two problems that your clients have? So what are the problems that somebody is coming to you with? So if they're coming to you because, let's just say in Michael's case, this was an international buyer who did not understand New York. So that was one area. He dealt with he understands the international market. What is the problem that somebody is coming to you with? So, for example, for myself, when it comes to sales, people are concerned about sales. They don't like it. Number two, the problem they have is that they don't stand out. They're boring. So my personal, if you want to call it elevator pitch, is one of the things that I say very frequently is that your number one skill is sales, or you may not be here next year. So immediately people are nervous because they understand that. They get nervous about that. They're not that great in sales. And then I say, when you present to your ideal client, are you storytelling or boring telling? So people realize that they don't tell stories. And then I say, crafting dynamic business stories that represent your expertise is where I've done some of my best work. My name is Rochelle, and my company is Dynamic Business Growth. So they get a sense of something that I do very specifically. And if a lot of my target audiences have a problem with that, they'll know to come to me immediately if they've got some sort of a sales concern or if they've got an issue with identifying themselves through their stories. They'll say, Rochelle can work with me on how to craft a great story. And it's huge to be able to stand out in your vertical by telling stories that people can connect to. It highlights your expertise.
Now, Rochelle, you mentioned just now that understanding what the problem is that somebody's coming to you to solve is really key to this process.
Yes.
What happens if I solve multiple kinds of problems?
Well, in general, you have more than one, what I call more than one pitch. It depends who your greater audience is. So I look at two things. Number one, I look at is what is your sweet spot in business? What do most clients come to you with? What is the one that you do the best work with that you get a lot of your clients from? So if let's just say you get 40% of your work from a particular type of client, I would focus on that because that's something that you do very well and there's a big enough audience for it and you want to attract more of that.
So the type of client and also the specific problem that they most typically come to you to solve.
Correct. That's the one area.
Okay.
The second area, and then we can go back to what you want to say. The second area is if you want to go into a new vertical, then you would discuss what are the problems that new vertical will experience and that you're the one that can solve that issue. So you want to look at number one, what's your existing client that's giving you your sweet spot, that's giving you majority of your revenue that you do very, very well and it's easy for you to do. And number two is you want to craft a story around a vertical that you may want to go into.
And is there a way to test a story? If you want to go into a new vertical, but you're not quite sure exactly what their biggest pain point is, or you're not really sure whether they are actually going to buy from you, is there a way to test that market using stories?
Absolutely. When you create a dynamic story, you will go to somebody. You might want to just test it in a friendly, let's say, social setting and just say, if I were to represent myself the following way, would that connect to your industry? And very often they would say either yes or no, or they'll let you tweak it. You can do that within the industry association. Very often an industry has an association, and the association has a breakfast event. They'll have some sort of an event that you can meet more people of that industry within a large concentration. It could be at an expo where there's a lot of people in a particular industry that you can test it. And you could just walk over and just ask them very, very specifically, does this relate to you? And I'd be surprised if they would say no. But they might also offer you a way to tweak it.
Okay, so conversations with your target audience are really important.
Absolutely. It's the only way you'll know that's the way that you can stand on trend within that audience.
So what kinds of examples have you seen of people who have really smashed the plateau by using the right language?
Okay, I can give you I'll give you another example. I have somebody who's a great she does a lot of web development. And she was, again, sounding like most web development. So her private, she would always say that I do web design, web content, and she blended. So as a, we decided we're going to come up with something very different. So one of the things we did, and she's a very big Beatles fan. So we created a pitch using three titles from Beatles songs. So she started off by saying, you know, very often when people come to me, they're working 8 days a week, or it's been a hard day's night. And then she says they realize that their web is not bringing them a clientele that they need. So they really say that they need help. They need somebody. Help, not just anybody. And at the end, she closes with, after our work together, my clients can only say one word, imagine. Now, with that three-step process, she has gotten more people to inquire about what she does than she did, I don't even know how much longer prior to that. The way that she turned it around in a very memorable way, they all came to her and says, you know what, I want a website that I could walk away saying, imagine. I want my website to do some work for me so that I'm not working 8 days a week. I want this website to bring the leads that I need that can convert. So let's have a conversation.
That's great. Are there some basic steps that we need to go through in order to understand our best story and the best language for a situation?
Well, it takes some time and it takes some patience. And to be honest, I'll be doing a workshop this coming January 27th, that will go through just that. We will spend a half a day totally focusing in on your personal pitch. And then the afternoon, we're going to talk about how you can practice speaking about it. But there is some steps. So number one, you want to think about, you have to catch somebody's attention. Catch it. So you need to say something very startling that can do thought interruption to catch somebody's attention. So in my case, my blunt line is your number one skill is sales, or you may not be here next year. People get nervous. They go, oh my God. Then part two is you need to tell a compelling story. And a story is different than a case study. A story has emotion in it, has emotional language in it. And that's that emotional language that will allow me to connect to the audience. And the third process is you need to have a call to action. There's so many people that I know that do presentation work and they have no call to action. They'll never say, let's have a conversation. If what I've just said speaks to you and connects to you, and if I've hit your sweet spot or an area of concern, let's have a conversation to see how I could support you in your next efforts of growth. So I can't tell you how many people that I've seen presentations that they don't have a call to action. So let me repeat. You need to do what I call the three C's. You need to catch their attention. You need to tell a compelling story. And you need to be able to create a call. You need to have a call to action.
It actually sounds pretty simple.
It sounds simple, but it's not necessarily as simple as it sounds. Once it's crafted, you need to practice that. And that's where people run into a little bit of a snag. You see, when you're in a new setting, we're very used to doing what we're comfortable doing, what we're used to doing. So if we're in this, let's just say, networking setting, even though we've crafted something new, very often people will go back and say what they've been used to saying for 10 years. They're not as willing to bring the new pitch to the forefront. And that takes practice. That takes a lot. I have to tell you, that takes a lot of practice. It takes practice to get the pitch fluent, and it takes practice to overcome your resistance for doing things the same old way.
So what are they afraid of that keeps them from using the language that you've practiced with them?
Two things. If they're not used to saying it fluently, they're afraid that their tongue's going to get caught in their mouth, and it's not going to sound right, and that they're uncomfortable. Like, they feel they're going to look like an idiot. It's anybody that's concerned with public speaking. In the beginning, until you understand what you're doing and you're comfortable with what you're doing, all of us are concerned that we don't want to look like an idiot.
So I know the last time that you were on the show, we talked about your own transformation and how you moved from the travel industry into the business that you're currently in. How did you come up with the concept of language being so important?
Oh, gosh. First of all, there's two ways. Number one, I saw so many companies that sound the exact same way. I do a lot of networking. That's one of the ways that I've built my business. So I go to so many networking events, and I cannot tell you how many networking events I've gone to where everybody sounds the same. So they'll all say, I'm an insurance person, I'm an attorney, I'm a IT person. They all sound the same. Now, if I'm meeting in the course of a month three or four attorneys, three or four IT people, how am I going to remember one from the other? I just get a title. I don't get a sense of their work. So they all blend it. And if I want to refer somebody, which is what we do in networking, how can I distinguish one from the next? They all blend. They all sound the exact same. And when I realized that what was missing was an example of their work, an example of something that I can connect to that makes them stand out, that makes me see them as the expert, that makes me realize that if I'm going to give them a referral to a client or a valued relationship that I have, I want to make sure that they're qualified. And the way that I got that was through some of the stories that some people were able to tell. But I have to tell you, it was very few and far between. And because I realized that stories were so important, I started training a lot of my clients in it, and they've gotten some pretty big results from it.
Yeah, it sounds pretty powerful. So I know you mentioned that you have a workshop coming up for those that are listening to this episode before the date of your workshop. Tell us a little bit more about what you're planning to do.
I'm planning to look at your business, and we're going to see what's your client that what we talked about. Who gives you either your most revenue, or is there an area that you'd like to? Is there a new vertical that you'd like to go into? And how are you going to speak about yourself so that if I know somebody that would be a good referral for you, I'll be able to bring that person to mind and give them to you. So we have to look at what's your pitch. How are you speaking about your business? I talk about what is your verbal branding for impact and influence. Can you turn your conversations into clients with confidence? Can you? Can you speak about your business so that I get it? I understand what you do, and those conversations can actually be turned into clients, and then you're speaking with confidence. So in the morning, we're going to actually craft that pitch. What is that pitch that's going to make a difference? And in the afternoon, we're going to practice speaking that pitch. You have to be able to say it and get some feedback. So what's going to be your vocal variety? What's going to be your tonality? So if we can put that into place as well, by the time you leave, you'll really have some muscle in what you need to do and that you can move forward and use it. You can use it verbally when you do presentations, when you're speaking to people at social events, when you're speaking to people at networking events, And you can also use it to craft some of your marketing material in the future. Your pitch can become the headline of an article. It could be the headline of a web page. You can repurpose it in so many different areas.
What are some companies, Rochelle, that have really great verbal branding?
Well, the ones that you see, we're used to verbal branding when we think of commercials. So when you think of Nike, just do it. I don't think anybody that's been more successful than something like that. That's the king of what I would consider verbal branding. And that they've made, you know, a gazillion dollars on that. But I can see small businesses can do it as well by just telling you, I have a person that does insurance. And I love the way he says it. He starts off by saying that he's a black belt in difficult, complicated, high-end insurance for the athlete or the celebrity, because they do have complicated insurance matters because they've got so many different homes all over the country. But I love the way he starts out by saying, I'm a black belt in complicated, high net worth individuals that have these issues. So when you say it that way, like, wow, he's a black belt. He knows what he's doing. Very important to say things in a way that will grab my attention.
Yeah, that's really true. We certainly have seen some examples in recent American politics of people who've been able to grab attention in unexpected ways.
And I really believe it's unfortunate, but I believe that a lot of the political advantage that Trump had was all based on language. It's language. He said that let's get America great again. It was easy to remember it. He said it over and over again. And then he used some very profound language when dealing with his opponent. He said crooked Hillary. He didn't say dishonest. He said crooked. Crooked is such a strong word that you remember it, and it literally goes to your tummy and you can't forget it. So when you have strong language, you make an impact.
Right, right. And I can also see how people might be fearful of using strong language, because you kind of wonder, who am I going to turn off by using strong language?
Well, you can use it strong in the positive. We just, you know, you can say, let's make our company great again. That's positive language.
Yes, it is.
It depends what your reference is.
Right, right, right. And that's really true. So, Rochelle, for those people who want to learn more about you and what it is that you do and follow you, what's the best way for them to do that? Particularly if they're, some people might be able to check out your workshop that's coming up, and some of our listeners are not local; they're all over the world. How can people check you out, follow you, and learn more about the kind of work that you do?
First, Facebook is the greatest. It's, you know, my Facebook page, it's Rochelle Lissner on Facebook. Also my website, which is dynamicbusinessgrowth.com. And if you are interested in the workshop or just in general over the concept of verbal branding, I have a great landing page that you can look at, which is theultimatepowerpitch.com. And then I do a lot of work with verbal branding. Aside from my workshop, I do a lot of one-on-one work where I craft these brands for small companies, for individuals. I can't even tell you how many I've done recently. It's really quite comical.
That's great. And for those who are interested specifically about the workshop, what's the best place for them to check that out?
Check that out on it's called ultimatepowerpitch.com. All the information about it, about that workshop, is on that landing page.
That's great. Well, Rochelle, it's been really fascinating talking to you about the importance of language, and in particular, the three points that you mentioned: how to catch attention, tell a compelling story, and lastly, have a call to action. I think these are powerful tips that anybody who's a business leader can take advantage of and make part of what they do pretty much every day in their business lives.
I wanted to just add one thing, which is very important. If you have a sales team, your sales team must be speaking powerfully. They must. If not, their efforts, they need to set the tone so that other people can speak on their behalf as well. So if you have a sales team, I would suggest that you challenge them and have them come to you with their pitch and ask yourself, does this stand out? Does this connect to me emotionally? And if not, see what you can do to shift it. Which one of those three is missing? Do they have a strong catch? Do they catch your attention? Do they have a compelling story? And most important, do they have a call to action?
That's great. Well, Rochelle, thanks again for taking the time to join us again on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been Rochelle Listener, founder of Dynamic Business Growth. Thanks again, Rochelle, for joining us.
And thank you, David.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.